Mention the phrase stock exchange to most people and they'll likely visualize Wall Street, the home of the New York Stock Exchange, the world's biggest. But smaller regional stock exchanges are nothing new. For 70 years until the mid-1970s, Detroit had its own stock exchange. It's credited with speeding the growth of General Motors and dozens of other Michigan companies. A proposal to allow local stock exchanges in Michigan was recently filed in the state legislature. The aim is to allow citizens to invest in smaller, promising Michigan companies that may not qualify for a larger exchange. Yesterday, I spoke with two guests who support the proposal, State Rep. Andy Shore of Lansing and Summer Minnick, Director of Policy Initiatives and Federal Affairs for the Michigan Municipal League. I first asked Representative Shore to explain how the local stock exchange would work.
Well, it's very similar to the way the stock exchange works nationally. You have companies that are traded on an exchange publicly, except this would be Michigan companies that would be traded. It would be a chance to kind of promote those companies, to trade them publicly here within our state. So we're going to hype up these great Michigan companies, and let's keep it local. That's the concept, and I think the Tax Policy Committee is going to work out some of the details as you look at how it meshes with the federal stock exchanges. But the concept is to really help our local businesses by letting them be publicly traded on a Michigan-based stock exchange.
And Summer Minnick, the proposal, which the Michigan Municipal League is also supporting, is on the heels of a new crowdfunding law signed by Governor Snyder back in January. Remind us what that crowdfunding law does.
Sure. It's a very exciting new economic development tool, which is an opportunity for entrepreneurs and talented small businesses to really generate additional capital by going out to local investors to raise money that they might not be able to in a traditional atmosphere.
And they're both in loose terms, crowdfunding. You're both trying to mobilize public investment money towards some one particular venture or another. But how would the operations of the stock exchange differ from crowdfunding?
Well, in crowdfunding, you can go out and put investments in. So say you could give $500 or $1,000 to a local brew pub or a local retail establishment, knowing that at some point you're going to get a 25 or 50% return, but it could be over 5 or 7 years because of how long it takes them to generate that much revenue. Well, a local stock exchange would allow that to have more liquidity. So it's really a good complement to crowdfunding because then if for some reason an investor might be interested in putting $500 or $1,000 towards that local business, but they're not so comfortable waiting 5 years, this gives them the opportunity to trade it and have their money back at some point.
Andy, what's been the buzz on the stock exchange proposal? Does it appear to enjoy a lot of the support that the crowdfunding measure did?
I think so. I think it's the next logical evolution of the crowdfunding idea. Representative Nancy Jenkins has spearheaded both of these bills, and I've co-sponsored both. I think that there are a lot of people who are trying to look out of the box in terms of funding, in terms of helping out our businesses, our entrepreneurs, providing avenues, especially coming out of the recession where financing and liquidity was so hard to get. These are unique tools. So as the Tax Policy Committee looks at the local stock exchange, again, the devil's always in the details. So we took the crowdfunding and we had to make some changes, and the Senate made some changes, but we got it to the governor. And I think the same thing is happening with the local stock exchange bill. I think that it will continue to see some action and kind of have the details worked out, but the concept will stay the same. Like Summer explained, it will ensure that these companies can get investors, and then that those companies can be traded on the market. The investors can get their money back, or they can trade it just like they would on a national stock exchange. So I think that it's having some buzz, and we'll continue to work it through and get it to the governor hopefully soon, get it to the Senate soon, and then to the governor.
Presumably, a stock exchange or even more than one would require regulation. Already some are suggesting that's a critical factor and that the state might not be up to it. Does that concern you as well, Summer?
Well, I think that, as Andy alluded to, there's always details that need to be worked out, but we're confident that this is something that we can overcome in the legislative process, and it's something that the state will be able to regulate. Certainly worked into the legislation, the state would have the ability to oversee any entity that wants to open an exchange. So we're confident that this will be overcome.
And all the same risks for investors that are involved with buying equities on a larger established stock exchange would still apply here, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We had the Corporation Securities and Commercial Licensing Bureau within the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs. That's a mouthful. That bureau within LARA, they've been involved the whole way. And the governor wouldn't sign it if the state didn't have the ability to regulate it. So I think we're in good shape.
What do you envision, Summer? If this thing unfolds positively here, do you envision a scattered number of exchanges, a statewide Michigan stock exchange? What?
Well, based on some preliminary research that we've done, we think a statewide exchange would probably be the most likely outcome, although the bill doesn't, you know, stipulate a requirement one way or the other. But you sort of need a larger geographic area in order to capture enough businesses to make it successful. So the ones that haven't been successful in other countries have been sort of countywide. So we anticipate that something along the lines of a statewide or at least large metropolitan scale regional would probably be the most successful.
We're talking with Summer Minnick of the Michigan Municipal League and State Rep Andy Shore about a proposal that would allow the formation of local stock exchanges in Michigan. Is it clear what kind of rules might govern a company's inclusion on such an exchange? I guess I'm wondering how local might a company be in order to become a part of a local stock exchange?
I think a lot of that's going to be worked out as we work through the bills in the legislature. I think that, you know, we'll look at the national model, we'll look at and see what other areas have done and see what has worked and what hasn't. I think some of that still has yet to be worked out. We talk about the devils in the details. I think part of that is still to be worked out. And again, the administration, I'm sure, will weigh in on what they think is appropriate.
But clearly, this is intended to support small businesses throughout Michigan and entrepreneurs and startups. So we think that this will be pretty widely applicable.
So whereas a company to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange mm-hmm. needs some kind of market capitalization in the millions or billions or trillions or whatever, we're obviously talking smaller scale here.
Much smaller.
Summer, your boss, Dan Gilmartin, wrote recently that Michigan would be the first in the nation to adopt a state stock exchange. Would there be an advantage to being number one?
Well, I think that's why we're so intrigued by this proposal, is the idea that Michigan and Michigan communities can really go out and promote themselves as hotbeds for entrepreneurs and those that are interested in startups or expanding their businesses, that we now as cities and villages in Michigan have the opportunity to promote tools that nobody else has. So we really think it's a exciting opportunity for us to lure those people and encourage our citizens to invest on Main Street rather than Wall Street.
Are other states considering these, though?
There are a few. I believe Wisconsin is one of them that's considering it right now. So
I want to ask both of you what you're thinking regarding the plan, which so far has enjoyed bipartisan support, to make municipalities recoup revenue after a revocation of the PPT, the personal property tax. Is this a done deal, Andy?
I think it's very close. I do. I think when the original legislation was passed about two years ago, a lot of the Democrats voted no because the legislation only required an 80% recapture for localities, for municipalities, exempting police and fire. And I think that the business community did not want to see folks voting no. They wanted to see a bipartisan effort that everybody could support going into August. And that's what this legislation before us does now. It makes the municipalities whole. It allows them to capture 100% back of what they were getting when they were able to collect the full personal property tax. I think that, yeah, this legislation has gotten to a point where, you know, you had at a press conference, we had Senator Rebecca Warren and myself standing up along with the manufacturers and with several Republican senators in support of the bills. So I think the lieutenant governor and I think that Democrat and Republican leadership have been able to come together on this one and get it right before we get into August and have a vote on the personal property tax repeal.
So in August, voters will decide whether or not to revoke it. But in the meantime, the legislature and supporters of the revocation are trying to make clear this is how you will get your revenue back after we cut this.
Correct.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Will the electorate support revocation of the PPT?
You know, I think that when there's no opposition and you have an effective campaign from the business community and the cities and the townships and the counties and the police and fire, when everybody comes together and says, vote for this, if there's not opposition, I think that they can be very convincing to the electorate that this is the right thing to do. If there would have been an organized opposition, then it would have been an uphill fight. But with this legislation passing and all of the organizations that were either neutral or had concerns now coming on board, I think the case can be made to the electorate that this is the right thing to do for Michigan moving forward.
Summer, what's the view of the league on this?
Well, we've enjoyed very successful negotiations with the administration and the legislature on this. Our concern from the very beginning was the long-term fiscal health of our communities and ensuring that we didn't suffer our ability to provide essential services and attract talent. I mean, we've just been talking about ways that cities can be more attractive. So we obviously have that on the forefront of our mind, and we wanted to make sure that we could continue to support essential services and not lose the revenue. So the fact that we've come so far and now we're looking at 100% reimbursement is something that we're very happy with.
Your Michigan Municipal League Capital Conference is today and tomorrow in Lansing. What policy debates are you most interested in moving forward during your gathering?
Well, one of the issues that I'm most excited about is we have Mayor Ralph Becker from Salt Lake City, Utah, who is speaking both at a House public transportation hearing tomorrow and at our general session, our lunch tomorrow, about public transit and how they built it from the ground up in Salt Lake City. And we think that that's something really exciting for him to share his experience in a very conservative state of how you can convince all parties of the economic value of public transit. And he has actual economic data that he'll be sharing about the benefit of public transit for Salt Lake City.
Speaker Bolger, Tim Grimmel will also be speaking. You got quite a lineup.
We do. It'll be great. People should attend.
Summer Minnick is Director of Policy Initiatives and Federal Affairs for the Michigan Municipal League. Andy Shore represents Lansing in the State House. Thanks very much.
Thank you.